Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I cannot wait. The date is marked on our calendar. And we are looking forward to it. Being at the Minnesota State Fair, the Great Minnesota Get Together. My children and I have already surveyed the new 33 foods. We have made a list of all the things that we're going to eat on the first day, the second day, the third day. We have a family menu of where we're going to go. We're strategic about this. Okay, you got 4 kids. You can't just go up in the state fair talking about what are we going to do today. No, that plan is made at the house. And we have note cards. We have expectations. We know when we're going to get there. We know what we're going to do. And we know when we're going to leave. So there's not a whole bunch of mama, can we? Mom, let's try. We're going to write all this stuff down before we leave the house. And we're going to set our goals. And we are going to accomplish them. So we go to the Minnesota State Fair every year on a mission. We're going to try the new foods. We're going to get on the big slide. I got 2 shows to do. And we're going to have a good time. You know, but that can't happen if the fairgrounds are not properly staffed. Everybody needs good, hard workers. And the one thing that Minnesota is known for and we take pride in is this fair. So I need you to listen up to this next segment, because if you have a high school or college student who is home for the summer, or you yourself are looking to make a few extra dollars and you want to work at the state fair, you are in luck, because I am talking to Maria Hayden right now with the Minnesota State Fair about a job fair that is coming up. Maria, thank you so much for being here today on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me, Shaletta. And I love to hear about your fair plan. We love a planner. I'm excited to hear what kind of new foods you want to try. So we're excited. We're almost a month away. Monday will be 1 month until the fair.
Girl, and we cannot wait. The kids hate it when I have to work. They're like, oh, you working today? Or can we just have fun today? I said, we're going to do a little bit of both. Here's the work schedule. But after work, we're going to eat and play and go to the Midway, because they went from elementary school, a couple of them, to middle school, right? And so now they can get in the mighty Midway and ride the big kid ride. So that's something that they're really looking forward to. Yes.
Yeah, they've moved on from the Kidway to the Midway.
Yes, girl. So we got some transition going on. And then the college student, the new college student, is his last year of high school. So this may be the last year that we go as a family unit, you know, all of us together. So that's going to be fun. You know, once he goes off to college, he may just, you know, come down and go to the fair. We don't even know till we check his social media profile, you know. So this is the last time that we have access to him, where he can get in the car with us and we all go as a family. So this is a fair of transition for the Brundage family.
Yeah.
But it may be a fair of opportunity for somebody else's family. Talk to me about this job fair.
Yes, absolutely. So this Wednesday, July 24th, we are hosting our 6th annual Minnesota State Fair job fair. This isn't really like a traditional job fair where you go around and you talk to prospective employers. This is a streamlined hiring process. So we encourage people to register ahead of time online, take a look, put in what kind of roles they're interested in. We've got a vast variety of roles throughout our Minnesota State Fair departments. We've got ticket-taking roles. We've got barn attendants, ticket sellers, parking and parker and ride attendants. So a little bit of everything, whether you're interested in maybe doing something that's a little more independent, or you're a big people person and you want to be sure you're in a person facing role. So we encourage people to express their interest by registering online. And then from 4 to 7 p.m. this Wednesday, we'll be welcoming people to our North End Event Center to experience the streamlined hiring process we have at the job fair. So you can go ahead, get screened for a role, and then if your availability and interests match a role we have open, you may be able to interview on the spot for that role and fill out all your paperwork. So it's a good one-stop shop kind of streamlined process if you're interested in working for the fair.
And, you know, it is so important that we get this staffed. We get enough people because we got folks coming from all over the world to be at the Minnesota State Fair. Folks look forward to it. They mark it on their calendar. They plan their vacation time around it. And so, you know, we want to make sure we show up and show out. Now, I want you to talk to me about this streamlined hiring process and where they need to go online, because I want to make sure people have all the information they need.
Absolutely, yeah. So you just need to register on our website. It's super easy, mnstatefair.org, and then you can show up between 4 and 7 p.m., and you can go ahead and meet with our employment team. They'll go ahead and get you screened and see if there's a position that meets your interest. And if it's one that we have a staff person interviewing for that day in that department, you can go ahead and interview right there on site in our North End Event Center, and it's air conditioned, which is great. So you're able to kind of sit and try and get the vast majority of your work done in one night. But if you are unable to visit this Wednesday, our employment center is open throughout the summer. We'll have different roles open up as we get closer to fair, and some may be available now. So you can go ahead and visit that. Our employment center hours are on our website as well if people aren't able to make it this Wednesday.
And so this Wednesday, when they come in, they should have already gone online, right?
Yeah, you can register ahead of time, but if you're not able to access the computer for whatever reason, we can go ahead and register you on site as well. And no resumes are required or anything. You just really just need to fill out that registration, and then we'll go ahead and get you checked in with all of our different positions we have open once you arrive.
And talk to me about those different positions. You know, everybody wants to work at Sweet Martha Cookies. I would work for cookies. Okay, give me a cookie cone, girl. And Martha's got me for a good 8 hours. Give me a cookie cone and some cold milk. And I promise you, girl, I will be the number one fair worker. But, you know, folks can really go behind the scenes of some of their favorite fair places and destinations and spots and really become a part of the experience for somebody else.
Yeah, as much as I would love to eat cookies all day at work, we do have quite a few different positions open, and we don't hire for food and beverage vendors at this job fair, unfortunately. So if you're looking for a cookie slinging position, you'll need to go elsewhere. But we are hiring for several of our Minnesota State Fair departments. So ticket sellers, ticket takers, parking and park and ride attendants, custodians, our livestock area, ride and game ticket takers. So there are a lot of positions throughout the fairgrounds. You might kind of have a certain destination you like to hang out in. You're not required to work all 12 days of the fair. Some positions have different requirements than others. So we just encourage people, if they're interested in getting kind of a behind the scenes look at the fair, to come to the job fair. Let us know your availability and your interests and what might be best suited to you, and we can see if we have a position that matches your interest. And it really is just a great opportunity to be a part of the Great Minnesota Get Together. You know, you can go and get those cookies on your lunch break. You can go ahead and try your way through the new foods list throughout your 12 days of the fair. And we have more than half of our fair time employees return year over year, which is a really amazing retention rate considering they're only here for 12 days of the year. But we've got people all the way from their first jobs in high school to people who have finished out their careers and they're just looking for something to do to make some vacation money post-retirement. So we've got people from all walks of life that come and join us for the Great Minnesota Get Together. And we hope someone listening right now will be interested in doing that as well.
I love the flexibility. I love the fact that, you know, folks don't have to do all 12 days or 10 days of the fair. Talk to me about the pay, because that's one thing that folks are texting me about. They said, you have not talked about the pay. What's the pay rate for these opportunities?
Yeah, absolutely. So we start above the state minimum wage of $11 per hour, and then they vary from there. So positions really depend per department. So you might get a different pay rate in a sanitation role rather than a ticket selling role. So all of that will be discussed when you get screened for a role. If people are interested, they'll be able to give them more information when they inquire at the job fair.
Okay, and tell us again before you go when that job fair is and give us that website, because I want to make sure people have everything they need so they can be there this Wednesday, so they can sign up for themselves or and their kids and their neighbors. And these are opportunities, you know, for us to make a little bit of extra money and, you know, help out the great Minnesota get together.
Perfect. Yes. Our job fair is this Wednesday, July 24th, and it will go from 4 to 7 p.m. at our North End Event Center on the fairgrounds. And you can register and learn more at mnstatefair.org.
mnstatefair.org. That's where you need to go. And this job fair is for you and yours. Maria Hayden, thank you so much for being on the show.
Yes. Thanks so much for having me.
And you all stick around. There's more to come. It is 2:19. I am still hanging out at the Minnesota African American Heritage Museum and Gallery, broadcasting the Shaletta Show live on WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. And I don't know about you all, but I don't have a lot of time to watch TV. But last weekend, the kids were with Sean and I had almost finished my work. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to call it. I'm not going to do another thing today. I'm going to sit on the sofa and I'm going to put it on Netflix because I pay for the subscription and I never use it. And so Axel F was on. That's that new Beverly Hills Cop movie with Eddie Murphy, and his daughter is in it. And, you know, they grab the old gang out. And so I was watching the movie and I was like, wow, Eddie's held up well over the years. He looks amazing. You know, he looks like he's 40 years old. And I know John Brown well. He ain't 45 years old, but he looks like he's between 40 and 45 years old. So he's been using a lot of lotion and vitamins or something. That cocoa butter is doing him well. So once I watched the movie, it was, you know, it was okay. You know, it's predictable. You know, they're not going to kill him. They're not going to kill his daughter. You know, it was a Beverly Hills Cop movie, you know. And so, you know, to go along with the movie, you know, you've got to do all this press, right? And so he was on Jimmy Kimmel. And I don't know if you all saw it. If you haven't, you got to go watch it. He's talking all about Prince and his friendship with Prince and his relationship with Prince. And he's telling some Prince stories. And these, I'm telling you, they put these online and they have subsequently gone viral. And he tells a story of how he and Questlove and Larry Graham were at Prince's house. And it was 3 a.m. and Prince looked at everybody and says, do you guys want to go roller skating? And so they go to a roller rink and he's talking about the story about how Prince has light up roller skates, and they're at this dark roller rink and they can see what Prince is doing and where he is and all the tricks he's got based on these light up skates. And I'm not going to spoil it for you, but you got to go find the one about his chef. He has a story that he tells Jimmy Kimmel, and Questlove is co-signing on all this because apparently he's there. And he's telling Jimmy Kimmel the story about when Prince lived a few houses down from him, and he's talking about his chef. You guys have got to see it. I tell you, I wonder how many other people have these Prince stories. Y'all remember when, you know, Dave Chappelle and Charlie Murphy was on there and he was telling these true Hollywood stories about Prince. And you know how Prince played basketball with them, and after he beat them wearing high heels and a blouse, he made them pancakes, and it's so hilarious. So, you know, to hear Eddie Murphy telling those stories, it is just amazing. And, you know, it just gives us really even more insight into our beloved hometown hero and one of the best rockers of all time, Prince Rogers Nelson. I didn't get to meet him. I never went to one of those rock out sessions at his home. I remember one night in the middle of the night, he posted something on social, or somebody posted something on social and said he was, you know, having a party at his house and to bring a coat or a canned good or something. And I remember thinking I got to find a babysitter, and I couldn't find one because everybody I knew who could babysit my kids was headed out to Chanhassen to the house. Sean has been there. I remember one time I was in Houston with the kids, and the Minnesota Lynx won a championship, and he decided at the last minute or something to have a party at his house for the Lynx, and Sean wound up going, and he talked about how amazing it was. So I never got a chance to meet him. The only times I've been out to the house in Chanhassen is when he actually had passed away, and they were doing tours and you know, guided tours. And it was just amazing to see that beautiful home. And you could just feel his spirit when you walk in there. You can feel the love that the people who have put this together have curated for his fans who have come from around the world to celebrate his life after his death. It's a beautiful way to remember him. And I'm so glad we have that. And I know that he was a private person. And I know there were some people who said, you know, we shouldn't, you know, go in his house. He would never allow that. You know, he would never have that. And this is just a money grab. But, you know, it's really a way for us to be even closer, not just to him, but to one another. You know, the couple of times that I've gone out to Prince's home in Chanhassen to take a tour, it's been with, you know, family members and friends who have come from out of town. And it's a way for us to bond. And, you know, for the people that we are on tour with, you know, everybody has their Prince story about how they fell in love with Prince. And, you know, the first Prince concert they went to, or the first time they actually met him. And, you know, some people have pictures, and some people bring memorabilia with them. And so, you know, it's an amazing time to be out there. And it's always a destination for anybody that's coming to visit us. We always try to take them out there to Chanhassen so that they can take the tour and visit the place that he called home, because this was his home. And you will never be able to separate Minnesota and Prince. And so I just love the fact that we are talking about him again. Whenever Eddie Murphy is doing these interviews, everybody wants a Prince story. And I didn't know there were more Prince stories. I didn't know you could top the story about him beating Eddie Murphy and his brother Charlie, you know, in a game of basketball, wearing high heel boots and a fluffy blouse and some lace gloves. But the story that Eddie Murphy tells about Prince roller skating and how he lived a couple of doors down, and the chef story, are absolutely amazing. So if you are a Prince fan and a true Minnesota historian, you have got to check those out. They are littered on social media. They're going viral. People are watching those clips. They're enjoying them. They're commenting on it. They're liking them. So they are not hard to find. And something else that ain't hard to find, honey, is my face on USA Today. Did y'all hear about this? Honey, I woke up this morning and I am one of the top trending stories on USA Today. So y'all know I've been giving away these interior combination door locks to families who have children with autism that wander. Because it's summertime and we live in the land of 10,000 lakes. And for kids with autism who wander, it's dangerous. Because, you know, all you got to do if you are a parent is, you know, just walk out of the room and that child is gone. Or you can, you know, move away and go brush your teeth or go to the restroom and they can run off. And so several years ago, we found these interior combination door locks on Amazon, where it's a 6 to 10 digit code. And we use them on our house, on all the exterior doors. And so my children have stopped wandering. And so when we had the little 4-year-old boy in Hopkins who wandered away from his home and later drowned, and I was out there with the family supporting the police department, the Lord put it on my heart to do a door lock giveaway. And so I partnered with Scott Soroka and the folks at Amazon. They donated like 40 or so locks. I bought 30. We gave them away, and still 20 people came up after that we had to wind up buying locks for. So almost 100 locks, if not right at 100. And so recently there was a 12-year-old girl in Houston. Same thing, nonverbal, autistic. They are drawn to water. It is summertime. Schedules and routines are off. They are sneaking out of the house, and she drowned. And so I put the locks on the plane and I flew to Houston, and so many folks in Minnesota donated locks because Amazon didn't partner with me this time. They were like, this girl is begging too much. We just gave you 40 locks. Go on now. So I put a note up on my Facebook page, and so many Minnesota friends donated those locks and shipped them down to Houston for me. And I gave away probably 70 or so locks in Houston. And so now there is in Boston a little girl, 4 years old, nonverbal. She wandered away from her house and died. I just got an email from the Sutton Police Department, Sutton, Massachusetts Police Department, and they want to do a lock giveaway there because parents don't know that these locks exist. And it is literally saving lives. And so every time I go to a town, it's not just about, hey, I'm giving away these locks, but it's trying to create as much awareness as I can with something like this USA Today article so that the parents who can afford to buy the locks know that they're there, get a link so that they can purchase them. And if your child doesn't have autism, telling somebody who does, your friends, family members, sisters, brothers, grandparents, that these locks are available. So I'm going to be calling the folks in Massachusetts back to let them know whenever they need me. I'm coming. I'm bringing my locks. I'm going to give them away. And while I'm there, we're going to talk to every TV station and newspaper and radio station in town so that we can create as much awareness as we can, because these locks are saving lives. So if you want to be a part of the movement, I told somebody the other day, I'm not a nonprofit. I'm not a 501c3. I'm just a mama with a mouth on a mission to save these autistic children from drowning this summer. And you're going to continue to see more of these stories of children wandering away and drowning because it's summertime and their routines and schedules are off. And so they are running over to the door as soon as their parents look away, and they are drawn to water. But you can't teach them to swim, right? Because they're nonverbal. They don't make eye contact. It's almost impossible for them, some of them, to learn that skill, that life-saving skill. And so my family and I have found that these combination locks have really been instrumental in saving us from having an Amber Alert. And so that's why I'm out. That's why I'm beating the drums. So check out that USA Today story. When you find it, please share it on your social media timelines, because you never know what parent, caregiver, therapist, teacher, grandparent, aunt or uncle will see it and pass it on. We are literally trying to save lives. Up next, my friend Steve Thompson. Okay, it's a couple of things I look forward to every week. One of them is my nightly cocktail. Another one is my morning cup of coffee. And another one is talking to my friend Steve Thompson every Saturday afternoon. Because, Steve, I tell you, I miss the days when we would, you know, pass each other in the hallway, or, you know, you would be coming in and I'm producing your show, or, you know, at once I became a host, you know, I'd be leaving and you'd be coming on, and you always drop nuggets, parenting advice, information, supported me. You know, I would always feel like I could talk to you, fix my equipment if something was broken. I miss like running into you, brother.
Yeah, times have changed a lot since COVID, with everyone kind of doing their own thing and home studios and able to work remotely. It really is crazy how it's changed. I remember those days. You weren't just producing. You were hosting a show and then slide over to the producer chair. Those were some long days.
Yeah, because they made me produce my own show. They was wrong for that. They were like, okay, if you want a show, you're going to have to produce it. I was like, that ain't nothing. I can do that. You ain't saying nothing. I can produce a show and respond to people on social media in real time and turn around and produce Steve's show. What? That ain't nothing. I don't think I could do that now at 52, because the way my body and stamina are set up, Steve, I'd be falling out. I'd be falling asleep. Steve, last night I went to sleep with the kids at 9:46.
Oh, yeah. I watch the news at 9, maybe 15, 20 minutes. I am more than happy to crawl into bed around 9:30 on weeknights, that's for sure.
Now, I got to get an update. How are Michelle and the girls?
Oh, good. Yeah, all is good. We love summer. You know, and you get to this part of the summer, and I don't know about you, and you're so busy and you're traveling and all sorts of things going on and busy with your kids, and I'm sure you feel this, that it feels like summer's all booked out, that it's kind of like the weekends are gobbled up, and it's kind of like between now and the start of school, everything's booked up. And I always kind of get a little bummed out toward the end of July where it's like, I want more summer. I don't want this to end.
Yeah, and then, you know, you're right, because like right around this time, we start thinking, it starts when you start seeing them sell their school supplies. You know, you start seeing the school supplies. You're like, wait a minute, hold on. It is not August yet. Why are y'all selling school supplies? So it probably starts right around then. Mm-hmm.
Well, and when I was school age, they didn't put the school supplies out too early. Now these retailers are in a fight. I think, who can get their school supplies out? School's barely out for the summer, and they've got the stuff up. They've got the notebooks and the pens and all of this sort of stuff. I was always, as a kid, very upset when we'd go to mom and the notes, and they were wheeling out the notebooks and the crayons, and I was like, oh, no. Yeah.
But yes, it's that time, baby.
And as soon as school starts, I guarantee you'll see the Halloween stuff.
Oh, yeah. As soon as that last backpack is sold.
The stuff will be out right day after Labor Day.
if not before.
Right. I know that's exactly.
Okay, now you got to tell me, why you not in Cooperstown? I thought you were going to be gone. I thought you was going to go see Joe Mauer.
Well, there's this thing called work and the other jobs. And the funny thing is, where I work during the week in the printing business, there was a guy who had already traveled, and we worked together real closely. And he's our shipping and receiving manager, and I work with him because I'm kind of on the purchasing side. So we work very closely together. And when he's out, I kind of back him up and keep an eye on things.
Mm-hmm.
So he already had a trip planned because his daughter is now in high school, and she's quite an athlete. She's playing a sport this summer, and she had this tournament out east, so he had to road trip out there. So it really wasn't in the cards. And I've never been to Cooperstown, but I have heard
really,
really cool trip. I someday I'm going to get there. And I know there's a lot of Twins fans because Joe Mauer gets inducted into the Hall of Fame tomorrow. And we'll have more on that later in the day on the show on Joe getting his call to the Hall. But it is really cool. You think about these four guys from St. Paul. Of course, Dave Winfield, mm-hmm. great all-around athlete, just one of the all-time greats. Paul Molitor, Jack Morris, and now Joe Mauer. You know, from St. Paul, four guys are in the Hall of Fame. That's crazy that St. Paul, Minnesota will have four members of the Baseball Hall of Fame. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And, you know, I was telling somebody the other day, they should check the population of Minnesota because I know it's down. There's so many people who went to see this, you know, because they're so invested. People who know him, people who don't know him, but have followed and supported his career. I mean, this is just amazing to see a hometown hero stay at, you know, with his local team. You know, Steve, that doesn't happen often, does it?
No, it certainly doesn't. Not in this era of pro sports. Once upon a time, before the late, great Curt Flood and Challenger Reserve Clause, when you were signed with a major league team, you were there. You know, they had your rights. There was no such thing as free agency back in the day. But the great Curt Flood challenged all of that. And now we have an era where players can, you know, do what they want. Play for who they want, you know, go out and get the most money they can. But I think Joe Mauer is unique because you know, Creighton-Durham Hall, tight-knit community there in St. Paul. He played football, basketball, and baseball all at a very high level. He could have played quarterback at Florida State. He had a scholarship offer on the table from Bobby Bowden to play quarterback at Florida State. He was that good. He could have played D1 basketball had he wanted to, but he went the baseball route, gets drafted by the Twins, and spends his entire career. It is very unusual for a player to follow that path. But I remember, you know, talking to his mom and his late father, because we used to be involved in a charity event here at CECO through the Maurer dealerships, and they would put on a little tournament. So I got to know his mom and dad, and we talked. And they talked about U Sports, and they talked about the approach. And it's like, no, they weren't going to go on all these traveling teams and go all over here and there. They were going to stay in the neighborhood and play with their friends. And I think that there's a lot to be said about that. If you can play and if you're good enough to make it to the pros, the scouts are going to find you. You might as well stay home and play with your friends. And I thought that was very, very interesting that all those boys, and it's a family of great athletes, and Joe's mom was a terrific athlete in her own right, that they just stayed home in St. Paul, and they played sports with their friends, and now Joe's going to the Hall of Fame. It's a pretty good story.
And, you know, Steve, a lot of times, you know, as parents, you know, we just can't keep up. You know, because they got you running every which way, running all around town. And, you know, even for me, my children are not very athletic, but I just wanted to, you know, do that team building. And, you know, I thought about a basketball league. And, you know, one of the things they said, well, we play on Saturday, Sunday mornings. And I was like, but we go to church. And I was like, oh, you just can't go to church. You're not going to be able to do it if you join this league, because we play on Sundays. And that was, you know, a deal breaker for us. And I was, you know, sad for my son, but, you know, a lot of times we make so many sacrifices to be on these leagues and playing these teams. But, you know, his story is so good and such a good reminder that you can stay right there. You don't got to stress out. You don't got to be running all over the state and the tri-state area. You will bloom where you are planted.
Yeah, I think it's so true. And I think youth sports has become big business, but I think Joe's story and the story of the great Dave Winfield as well is playing multiple sports. You know, Dave was a phenomenal multi-sport athlete, and he could have had a career in basketball. You know, he could have done a lot of things athletically. Dave Winfield is the same thing. And it just goes to show that right now youth sports is a big business, and they try and push these kids at a young age. You've got to specialize as a volleyball player or a basketball player, and you got to play year-round, or you got to play soccer year-round, or you got to do football workouts year-round. But I think the lesson in Dave Winfield or Joe Maurer, for example, is you can play multiple sports and still get to where you want to be as an athlete. The specialization will come down the road. Play them all. Try different things. And it doesn't have to be sports. It could be music. It could be speech. It could be any sort of artistic endeavor. I think the more well-rounded kids are, the better.
Yeah, that is the truth. Steve Thompson is joining us. He's going to stick around for one more segment, because I got a little surprise I want to tell you about. Okay, so y'all don't tell Steve that I'm in USA Today. I'ma tell him about it when we come back. It is 2:53. You are listening to News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. Talking to my friend Steve Thompson, whose show is coming up next. Steve, what do you got in store for everybody?
We've got Doug Tech Talk. Maybe you heard about the big crowd strike problem.
Oh my God.
Friday.
Oh my God.
Yeah. What a
Steve,
nightmare.
Are you not I bet you were glad you weren't flying or going anywhere. Flights, banks, jobs. I mean, it was everywhere, all over the place.
Yeah, I'm glad I don't have the money to fly. I was just at work, but when all of this went down, and this just wasn't in the United States. This was global, and some companies, some industries impacted more than others. And we are going to get into that in detail next hour on the show. We'll go outdoors with Steve Carney. We'll preview the 3M Open coming to town next week. Big event, PGA Tour. Some of the top players in the world will be here. And they raise a lot of money for charity out at the TPC of the Twin Cities. And then much more on Joe Mauer going into the Hall of Fame. And then Twins and Brewers pregame lineup card at 5:30 today. So, busy day.
Oh, my gosh. You got a lot going on. Well, I know that, you know, as you were lining up your show looking for guests and you were going all over to all the different publications online, I'm not sure if you stopped at USA Today and you saw my face. I didn't want you to be surprised because I am on USA Today. There is an article, a long column about the door lock giveaways that I've been doing in different cities. They called me this week and asked if they could do a story on me because I'm preparing to get ready to go to Boston to give away more locks after we gave some away in Hopkins and Houston when those kids with autism wandered away from their house and drowned.
That is phenomenal. I haven't seen the USA Today article, but I've heard about this latest endeavor, and it is phenomenal what you're doing in the sad stories. These kids getting out of the house and drowning. I heard you talk about it earlier in the show today. It's just a tragedy, and the fact that you're getting locks to people that can use these is just tremendous work.
Well, you know, Steve, you know, you and I talked a lot back before COVID, and you know, one of the concerns and fears that I had was that my son Daniel would just wander out of the house. Like, we couldn't sleep right at night. I couldn't go to the restroom. I couldn't turn my back and wash dishes. You know, any opportunity he had to get out of the house, he would take. And the older and smarter he got, the more sophisticated he got, and he could figure these things out. But these combination locks that we found a couple of years ago, well, the only thing that kept him safe. And when I was out there in Hopkins after that little boy wandered away and drowned, and I hugged that family and I was talking to the police, you know, God just put it on my heart and gave me the idea to do a lock giveaway. And then did one in Houston, and now, you know, the police department in Boston emailed me this morning and they want me to come there. And of course I'm going to go because, Steve, the more parents that we can tell about these locks, the more lives we can save.
Yeah, and it is readily available technology. And the thing is, there's some folks that just can't afford it. They're just trying to put food on the table, pay the rent, et cetera. But making this available is such a great cause.
Yeah, and for those who can't afford, a lot of times they didn't even know these locks existed. So I don't know where Jeff Bezos is, but he really needs to give me that Courage and Civility Award. I know he gave it to Eva Longoria this year. I don't know what she did, but I'm just telling you that I ought to be a contender for next year when he's giving out that Courage and Civility Award.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Shaletta, I think some people just need, you know, that push. I think people are indeed very generous. And if you, and you've already proven this, if you show a need, people will step up and donate funds.
Yes, they will. And this has been a blessing. So I'll let you know when I'm heading to Boston. But I wanted to let you know I love you and I thank you for your support. And y'all listen up. Steve Thompson is coming up next. Have a great weekend. I'm headed to Rondo Days. Y'all get on out there if you can. MC Light and Rakim are rapping on the main stage tonight from 5 to 7. It is a great opportunity to highlight that historic community over in St. Paul. Rondo Days today. Food, drinks, community, people. Get there if you can. I cannot wait. The date is marked on our calendar. And we are looking forward to it. Being at the Minnesota State Fair, the great Minnesota get-together. My children and I have already surveyed the new 33 foods. We have made a list of all the things that we're going to eat on the first day, the second day, the third day. We have a family menu. Of where we're going to go. We're strategic about this. Okay, you got four kids. You can't just go up in the state fair talking about what are we going to do today. No, that plan is made at the house. And we have note cards. We have expectations. We know when we're going to get there. We know what we're going to do. and we know when we're going to leave. So there's not a whole bunch of mama, can we, mom, let's try. We're going to write all this stuff down before we leave the house, and we're going to set our goals, and we are going to accomplish them. So we go to the Minnesota State Fair every year on a mission. We're going to try the new foods. We're going to get on the big slide. I got two shows to do, and we're going to have a good time. You know, but that can't happen if the fairgrounds are not properly staffed. Everybody needs good, hard workers. And the one thing that Minnesota is known for and we take pride in is this fair. So I need you to listen up to this next segment, because if you have a high school or college student who is home for the summer, or you yourself are looking to make a few extra dollars and you want to work at the state fair, you are in luck, because I am talking to Maria Hayden right now with the Minnesota State Fair about a job fair that is coming up. Maria, thank you so much for being here today on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me, Shaletta. And I love to hear about your fair plan. We love a planner. I'm excited to hear what kind of new foods you want to try. So we're excited. We're almost a month away. Monday will be 1 month until the fair.
Girl, and we cannot wait. The kids hate it when I have to work. They're like, oh, you working today, or can we just have fun today? I said, we're going to do a little bit of both. Here's the work schedule. But after work, we're going to eat and play and go to the Midway, because they went from elementary school, a couple of them, to middle school, right? And so now they can get in the mighty Midway and ride the big kid ride. So that's something that they're really looking forward to. Yes.
Yeah, they've moved on from the Kidway to the Midway.
Yes, girl. So we got some transition going on. And then the college student, the new college student, is his last year of high school. So this may be the last year that we go as a family unit, you know, mm-hmm. all of us together. So that's going to be fun. You know, once he goes off to college, he may just, you know, come down and go to the fair. We don't even know till we check his social media profile, you know. So this is the last time that we have access to him, where he can get in the car with us and we all go as a family. So this is a fair of transition for the Brundage family,
yeah.
But it may be a fair of opportunity for somebody else's family. Talk to me about this job fair.
Yes, absolutely. So this Wednesday, July 24th, we are hosting our 6th annual Minnesota State Fair Job Fair. This isn't really like a traditional job fair where you go around and you talk to prospective employers. This is a streamlined hiring process. So we encourage people to register ahead of time online, take a look, put in what kind of roles they're interested in. We've got a vast variety of roles throughout our Minnesota State Fair departments. We've got ticket-taking roles. We've got barn attendants, ticket sellers, parking and parker and ride attendants. So a little bit of everything, whether you're interested in maybe doing something that's a little more independent, or you're a big people person and you want to be sure you're in a person-facing role. So we encourage people to express their interest by registering online. And then from 4 to 7 p.m. this Wednesday, we'll be welcoming people to our North End Event Center to experience the streamlined hiring process we have at the job fair. So you can go ahead, get screened for a role, and then if your availability and interests match a role we have open, you may be able to interview on the spot for that role and fill out all your paperwork. So it's a good one-stop shop kind of streamlined process if you're interested in working for the fair.
And, you know, it is so important that we get this staffed. We get enough people, because we got folks coming from all over the world to be at the Minnesota State Fair. Folks look forward to it. They mark it on their calendar. They plan their vacation time around it. And so, you know, we want to make sure we show up and show out. Now, I want you to talk to me about this streamlined hiring process and where they need to go online, because I want to make sure people have all the information they need.
Absolutely, yeah. So you just need to register on our website. It's super easy, mnstatefair.org, and then you can show up between 4 and 7 p.m., and you can go ahead and meet with our employment team. They'll go ahead and get you screened and see if there's a position that meets your interest. And if it's one that we have staff person interviewing for that day in that department. You can go ahead and interview right there on site in our North End Event Center, and it's air conditioned, which is great. So you're able to kind of sit and try and get the vast majority of your work done in one night. But if you are unable to visit this Wednesday, our employment center is open throughout the summer. We'll have different roles open up as we get closer to fair, and some may be available now. So you can go ahead and visit that. Our employment center hours are on our website as well if people aren't able to make it this Wednesday.
And so this Wednesday, when they come in, they should have already gone online, right?
Yeah, you can register ahead of time, but if you're not able to access the computer for whatever reason, we can go ahead and register you on site as well. And no resumes are required or anything. You just really just need to fill out that registration, and then we'll go ahead and get you checked in with all of our different positions we have open once you arrive.
And talk to me about those different positions. You know, everybody wants to work as Sweet Martha Cookies. I would work for cookies. Okay, give me a cookie cone, girl. And Martha's got me for a good 8 hours. Give me a cookie cone and some cold milk. And I promise you, girl, I will be the number one fair worker. But, you know, folks can really go behind the scenes of some of their favorite fair places and destinations and spots and really become a part of the experience for somebody else.
Yeah, as much as I would love to eat cookies all day at work, we do have quite a few different positions open, and we don't hire for food and beverage vendors at this job fair, unfortunately. So if you're looking for a cookie slinging position, you'll need to go elsewhere. But we are hiring for several of our Minnesota State Fair departments. So ticket sellers, ticket takers, parking and park and ride attendants, custodians, our livestock area, ride and game ticket takers. So there are a lot of positions throughout the fairgrounds. You might kind of have a certain destination you like to hang out in. You're not required to work all 12 days of the fair. Some positions have different requirements than others. So we just encourage people, if they're interested in getting kind of a behind the scenes look at the fair, to come to the job fair, let us know your availability and your interests and what might be best suited to you. And we can see if we have a position that matches your interest. And it really is just a great opportunity to be a part of the Great Minnesota Get Together. You know, you can go and get those cookies on your lunch break. You can go ahead and try your way through the new foods list throughout your 12 days of the fair. And we have more than half of our fair time employees return year over year, which is a really amazing retention rate considering they're only here for 12 days of the year. But we've got people all the way from their first jobs in high school to people who have finished out their careers and they're just looking for something to do to make some vacation money post-retirement. So we've got people from all walks of life that come and join us for the Great Minnesota Get Together. And we hope someone listening right now will be interested in doing that as well.
I love the flexibility. I love the fact that, you know, folks don't have to do all 12 days or 10 days of the fair. Talk to me about the pay, because that's one thing that folks are texting me about. They said, you have not talked about the pay. What's the pay rate for these opportunities?
Yeah, absolutely. So we start above the state minimum wage of $11 per hour, and then they vary from there. So positions really depend per department. So you might get a different pay rate in a sanitation role rather than a ticket selling role. So all of that will be discussed when you get screened for a role. If people are interested, they'll be able to give them more information when they inquire at the job fair.
Okay, and tell us again before you go when that job fair is and give us that website, because I want to make sure people have everything they need so they can be there this Wednesday, so they can sign up for themselves or and their kids and their neighbors. And these are opportunities, you know, for us to make a little bit of extra money and, you know, help out the Great Minnesota Get Together.
Perfect. Yes. Our job fair is this Wednesday, July 24th, and it will go from 4 to 7 p.m. at our North End Event Center on the fairgrounds. And you can register and learn more at mnstatefair.org.
mnstatefair.org. That's where you need to go. And this job fair is for you and yours. Maria Hayden, thank you so much for being on the show.
Yes. Thanks so much for having me.
And you all stick around. There's more to come. It is 2:19. I am still hanging out at the Minnesota African American Heritage Museum and Gallery, broadcasting the Shaletta Show live on WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. And I don't know about you all, but I don't have a lot of time to watch TV. But last weekend, the kids were with Sean, and I had almost finished my work, and I said, you know what? I'm just gonna call it. I'm not going to do another thing today. I'm going to sit on the sofa and I'm going to put it on Netflix because I pay for the subscription and I never use it. And so Axel F was on. That's that new Beverly Hills Cop movie with Eddie Murphy, and his daughter is in it. And, you know, they grab the old gang out. And so I was watching the movie. And I was like, wow, Eddie's held up well over the years. He looks amazing. He looks like he's 40 years old. And I know John Brown well. He ain't 45 years old, but he looks like he's between 40 and 45 years old. So he's been using a lot of lotion and vitamins or something. That cocoa butter is doing him well. So once I watched the movie, it was okay. You know, it's predictable. You know, they're not going to kill him. They're not going to kill his daughter. You know, it was a Beverly Hills Cop movie, you know. And so to go along with the movie, you know, you've got to do all this press, right? And so he was on Jimmy Kimmel. And I don't know if you all saw it. If you haven't, you got to go watch it. He's talking all about Prince and his friendship with Prince and his relationship with Prince. And he's telling some Prince stories. And these, I'm telling you, they put these online and they have subsequently gone viral. And he tells a story of how he and Questlove and Larry Graham were at Prince's house. And it was 3 a.m. and Prince looked at everybody and says, do you guys want to go roller skating? And so they go to a roller rink, and he's talking about the story about how Prince has light up roller skates. And they're at this dark roller rink, and they can see what Prince is doing and where he is and all the tricks he's got based on these light up skates. And I'm not going to spoil it for you, but you got to go find the one about his chef. He has a story that he tells Jimmy Kimmel, and Questlove is co-signing on all this because apparently he's there. And he's telling Jimmy Kimmel the story about when Prince lived a few houses down from him, and he's talking about his chef. You guys have got to see it. I tell you, I wonder how many other people have these Prince stories. Y'all remember when, you know, Dave Chappelle and Charlie Murphy was on there, and he was telling these true Hollywood stories about Prince. And you know how Prince played basketball with them, and after he beat them wearing high heels and a blouse, he made them pancakes, and it's so hilarious. So, you know, to hear Eddie Murphy telling those stories, it is just amazing. And, you know, it just gives us really even more insight into our beloved hometown hero and one of the best rockers of all time, Prince Rogers Nelson. I didn't get to meet him. I never went to one of those rock out sessions at his home. I remember one night in the middle of the night, he posted something on social, or somebody posted something on social and said he was, you know, having a party at his house and to bring a coat or a canned good or something. And I remember thinking I got to find a babysitter, and I couldn't find one because everybody I knew who could babysit my kids was headed out to Chanhassen, to the house. Sean has been there. I remember one time I was in Houston with the kids, and the Minnesota Lynx won a championship, and he decided at the last minute or something to have a party at his house for the Lynx, and Sean wound up going, and he talked about how amazing it was. So I never got a chance to meet him. The only times I've been out to the house in Chanhassen is when he actually had passed away, and they were doing tours and guided tours. And it was just amazing to see that beautiful home. And you could just feel his spirit when you walk in there. You can feel the love that the people who have put this together have curated for his fans who have come from around the world to celebrate his life after his death. It's a beautiful way to remember him. And I'm so glad we have that. And I know that he was a private person. And I know there were some people who said, you know, we shouldn't, you know, go in his house. He would never allow that. You know, he would never have that. And this is just a money grab. But, you know, it's really a way for us to be even closer, not just to him, but to one another. You know, the couple of times that I've gone out to Prince's home in Chanhassen to take a tour, it's been with, you know, family members and friends who have come from out of town. And it's a way for us to bond. And, you know, for the people that we are on tour with, you know, everybody has their Prince story about how they fell in love with Prince. And, you know, the first Prince concert they went to or the first time they actually met him. And, you know, some people have pictures and some people bring memorabilia with them. And so, you know, it's an amazing time to be out there. And it's always a destination for anybody that's coming to visit us. We always try to take them out there to Chanhassen so that they can take the tour and visit the place that he called home, because this was his home. And you will never be able to separate Minnesota and Prince. And so I just love the fact that we are talking about him again. Whenever Eddie Murphy is doing these interviews, everybody wants a Prince story. And I didn't know there were more Prince stories. I didn't know you could top the story about him beating Eddie Murphy and his brother Charlie, you know, in a game of basketball, wearing high heel boots and a fluffy blouse and some lace gloves. But the story that Eddie Murphy tells about Prince roller skating and how he lived a couple of doors down and the chef story are absolutely amazing. So if you are a Prince fan and a true Minnesota historian, you have got to check those out. They are littered on social media. They're going viral. People are watching those clips. They're enjoying them. They're commenting on it. They're liking them. So they are not hard to find. And something else that ain't hard to find, honey, is my face on USA Today. Did y'all hear about this? Honey, I woke up this morning and I am one of the top trending stories on USA Today. So y'all know I've been giving away these interior combination door locks to families who have children with autism that wander because it's summertime. And we live in the land of 10,000 lakes. And for kids with autism who wander, it's dangerous because, you know, all you got to do if you are a parent is, you know, just walk out of the room and that child is gone. Or you can, you know, move away and go brush your teeth or go to the restroom and they can run off. And so, several years ago, we found these interior combination door locks on Amazon where it's a 6 to 10 digit code. And we use them on our house, on all the exterior doors. And so my children have stopped wandering. And so when we had the little 4-year-old boy in Hopkins who wandered away from his home and later drowned, and I was out there with the family supporting the police department, the Lord put it on my heart to do a door lock giveaway. And so I partnered with Scott Soroka and the folks at Amazon. They donated like 40 or so locks. I bought 30. We gave them away and still 20 people came up after that we had to wind up buying locks for. So almost 100 locks, if not right at 100. And so recently there was a 12-year-old girl in Houston. Same thing, nonverbal, autistic. They are drawn to water. It is summertime. Schedules and routines are off. They are sneaking out of the house and she drowned. And so I put the locks on the plane and I flew to Houston, and so many folks in Minnesota donated locks because Amazon didn't partner with me this time. They were like, this girl is begging too much. We just gave you 40 locks. Go on now. So I put a note up on my Facebook page, and so many Minnesota friends donated those locks and shipped them down to Houston for me. And I gave away probably 70 or so locks in Houston. And so now there is in Boston a little girl, 4 years old, nonverbal. She wandered away from her house and died. I just got an email from the Sutton, Massachusetts Police Department. And they want to do a lock giveaway there because parents don't know that these locks exist. And it is literally saving lives. And so every time I go to a town, it's not just about, hey, I'm giving away these locks, but it's trying to create as much awareness as I can with something like this USA Today article so that the parents who can afford to buy the locks know that they're there, get a link so that they can purchase them. And if your child doesn't have autism, telling somebody who does, your friends, family members, sisters, brothers, grandparents, that these locks are available. So I'm going to be calling the folks in Massachusetts back to let them know whenever they need me, I'm coming. I'm bringing my locks. I'm going to give them away. And while I'm there, we're going to talk to every TV station and newspaper and radio station in town so that we can create as much awareness as we can, because these locks are saving lives. So if you want to be a part of the movement, I told somebody the other day, I'm not a nonprofit. I'm not a 501c3. I'm just a mama with a mouth on a mission to save these autistic children from drowning this summer. And you're going to continue to see more of these stories of children wandering away and drowning because it's summertime and their routines and schedules are off. And so they are running over to the door as soon as their parents look away, and they are drawn to water. But you can't teach them to swim, right? Because they're nonverbal. They don't make eye contact. It's almost impossible for them, some of them, to learn that skill, that life-saving skill. And so my family and I have found that these combination locks have really been instrumental in saving us from having an Amber Alert. And so that's why I'm out. That's why I'm beating the drums. So check out that USA Today story. When you find it, please share it on your social media timelines, because you never know what parent, caregiver, therapist, teacher, grandparent, aunt or uncle will see it and pass it on. We are literally trying to save lives. Up next, my friend Steve. Okay, it's a couple of things I look forward to every week. One of them is my nightly cocktail. Another one is my morning cup of coffee. And another one is talking to my friend Steve Thompson every Saturday afternoon. Because, Steve, I tell you, I miss the days when we would, you know, pass each other in the hallway, or, you know, you would be coming in and I'm producing your show, or, you know, at once I became a host, you know, I'd be leaving and you'd be coming on, and you always drop nuggets, parenting advice, information, supported me. You know, I would always feel like I could talk to you, fix my equipment if something was broken. I miss like running into you, brother.
Yeah, times have changed a lot since COVID, with everyone kind of doing their own thing and home studios and able to work remotely. It really is crazy how it's changed. I remember those days. You weren't just producing. You were hosting a show and then slide over to the producer chair. Those were some long days.
Yeah, because they made me produce my own show. They was wrong for that. They were like, okay, if you want a show, you're going to have to produce it. I was like, that ain't nothing. I can do that. You ain't saying nothing. I can produce a show and respond to people on social media in real time and turn around and produce Steve's show. What? That ain't nothing. I don't think I could do that now at 52, because the way my body and stamina are set up, Steve, I'd be falling out. I'd be falling asleep. Steve, last night I went to sleep with the kids at 9:46.
Oh, yeah. I watch the news at 9, maybe 15, 20 minutes. I am more than happy to crawl into bed around 9:30 on weeknights, that's for sure.
Now, I got to get an update. How are Michelle and the girls?
Oh, good. Yeah, all is good. We love summer.
Yeah.
You know, and you get to this part of the summer, and I don't know about you, and you're so busy and you're traveling and all sorts of things going on and busy with your kids, and I'm sure you feel this, that it feels like summer's all booked out, that it's kind of like the weekends are gobbled up, and it's kind of like between now and the start of school, everything's booked up. And I always kind of get a little bummed out toward the end of July, where it's like, I want more summer. I don't want this to end.
Yeah, and then, you know, you're right, because like right around this time, we start thinking, it starts when you start seeing them sell their school supplies. You know, you start seeing the school supplies. You're like, wait a minute, hold on. It is not August yet. Why are y'all selling school supplies? So it probably starts right around then. Mm-hmm.
Well, and when I was school age, they didn't put the school supplies out too early. Now these retailers are in a fight. I think, who can get their school supplies out? School's barely out for the summer, and they've got the stuff up. They've got the notebooks and the pens and all of this sort of stuff. I was always, as a kid, very upset when we'd go to Mom and the notes, and they were wheeling out the notebooks and the crayons, and all. It's like, oh, no. Yeah,
but yes, it's that time, baby.
And as soon as school starts, I guarantee you'll see the Halloween stuff.
Oh, yeah. As soon as that last backpack is sold.
The stuff will be out day after Labor Day.
if not before.
You're right. I know that's exactly.
Okay, now you got to tell me, why you not in Cooperstown? I thought you were going to be gone. I thought you was going to go see Joe Mauer.
Well, there's this thing called work and the other jobs. And the funny thing is, where I work during the week in the printing business, there was a guy who had already traveled, and we worked together real closely. And he's their shipping and receiving manager, and I work with him because I'm kind of on the purchasing side. So we work very closely together. And when he's out, I kind of back him up and keep an eye on things.
Mm-hmm.
So he already had a trip planned because his daughter is now in high school, and she's quite an athlete. She's playing a sport this summer, and she had this tournament out east. So he had to road trip out there. So it really wasn't in the cards. And I've never been to Cooperstown, but I have heard
really,
really cool trip. I someday I'm going to get there. And I know there's a lot of Twins fans because Joe Mauer gets inducted into the Hall of Fame tomorrow. And we'll have more on that later on, later in the day on the show, on Joe getting his call to the Hall. But it is really cool. You think about these four guys from St. Paul. Of course, Dave Winfield, mm-hmm. great all-around athlete, just one of the all-time greats. Paul Molitor, Jack Morris, and now Joe Mauer. You know, from St. Paul, four guys are in the Hall of Fame. That's crazy that St. Paul, Minnesota will have four members of the Baseball Hall of Fame. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And, you know, I was telling somebody the other day, they should check the population of Minnesota because I know it's down. There's so many people who went to see this, you know, because they're so invested. People who know him, people who don't know him, but have followed and supported his career. I mean, this is just amazing to see a hometown hero stay at, you know, with his local team. You know, Steve, that doesn't happen often, does it?
No, it certainly doesn't. Not in this era of pro sports. Once upon a time, before the late, great Curt Flood and Challenger Reserve Clause, when you were signed with a major league team, you were there. You know, they had your rights. There was no such thing as free agency back in the day. But the great Curt Flood challenged all of that. And now we have an era where players can, you know, do what they want. Play for who they want, you know, go out and get the most money they can. But I think Joe Mauer is unique because, you know, Creighton Durham Hall, tight-knit community there in St. Paul. He played football, basketball, and baseball all at a very high level. He could have played quarterback at Florida State. He had a scholarship offer on the table from Bobby Bowden to play quarterback at Florida State. He was that good. He could have played D1 basketball had he wanted to, but he went the baseball route, gets drafted by the Twins, and spends his entire career. It is very unusual for a player to follow that path. But I remember, you know, talking to his mom and his late father, because we used to be involved in a charity event here at CECO through the Mauer dealerships. And they would put on a little league tournament. So I got to know his mom and dad, and we talked. And they talked about U Sports, and they talked about the approach. And it's like, no, they weren't going to go on all these traveling teams and go all over here and there. They were going to stay in the neighborhood and play with their friends. And I think that there's a lot to be said about that. If you can play and if you're good enough to make it to the pros, the scouts are going to find you. you might as well stay home and play with your friends. And I thought that was very, very interesting that all those boys, and it's a family of great athletes, and Joe's mom was a terrific athlete in her own right, that they just stayed home in St. Paul, and they played sports with their friends, and now Joe's going to the Hall of Fame. It's a pretty, pretty good story.
And, you know, Steve, a lot of times, you know, as parents, you know, we just can't keep up, you know, because they got you running every which way, running all around town. And, you know, even for me, my children are not very athletic, but I just wanted to, you know, do that team building. And, you know, I thought about a basketball league, and, you know, one of the things they said, well, we play on Saturday, Sunday mornings. And I was like, but we go to church. And they were like, oh, you just can't go to church. You're not going to be able to do it if you join this league, because we play on Sundays. And that was, you know, a deal breaker for us. And I was, you know, sad for my son, but, you know, a lot of times we make so many sacrifices to be on these leagues and playing these teams. But, you know, his story is so good and such a good reminder that you can stay right there. You don't got to stress out. You don't got to be running all over the state and the tri-state area. You will bloom where you are planted.
Yeah, I think it's so true. And I think youth sports has become big business, but I think Joe's story and the story of the great Dave Winfield as well is playing multiple sports. You know, Dave was a phenomenal multi-sport athlete, and he could have had a career in basketball. You know, he could have done a lot of things athletically. Dave Winfield is the same thing, and it just goes to show that right now youth sports is a big business, and they try and push these kids at a young age. You've got to specialize as a volleyball player or a basketball player, and you got to play year-round, or you got to play soccer year-round, or you got to do football workouts year-round. But I think the lesson in Dave Winfield or Joe Maurer, for example, is you can play multiple sports and still get to where you want to be as an athlete. The specialization will come down the road. Play them all. Try different things. And it doesn't have to be sports. It could be music. It could be speech. It could be any sort of artistic endeavor. I think the more well-rounded kids are, the better.
Yeah, that is the truth. Steve Thompson is joining us. He's going to stick around for one more segment because I got a little surprise I want to tell you about. Okay, so y'all don't tell Steve that I'm in USA Today. I'm gonna tell him about it when we come back. It is 2:53. You are listening to News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. Talking to my friend Steve Thompson, whose show is coming up next. Steve, what do you got in store for everybody?
We've got Doug Tech Talk. Maybe you heard about the big crowd strike problem.
Oh, my God.
Friday.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. What a
Steve, are you not I bet you were glad you weren't flying or going anywhere. Flights, banks, jobs. I mean, it was everywhere, all over the place.
Yeah, I'm glad I don't have the money to fly. I was just at work, but when all of this went down, and this just wasn't in the United States. This was global, and some companies, some industries impacted more than others. And we are going to get into that in detail next hour on the show. We'll go outdoors with Steve Carney. We'll preview the 3M Open coming to town next week. Big event, PGA Tour. Some of the top players in the world will be here. And they raise a lot of money for charity out at the TPC of the Twin Cities. And then much more on Joe Maurer going into the Hall of Fame. And then Twins and Brewers pregame lineup card at 5:30 today. So, busy day.
Oh, my gosh. You got a lot going on. Well, I know that, you know, as you were lining up your show looking for guests and you were going all over to all the different publications online, I'm not sure if you stopped at USA Today and you saw my face. I didn't want you to be surprised because I am on USA Today. There is an article, a long column about the door lock giveaways that I've been doing in different cities. They called me this week and asked if they could do a story on me because I'm preparing to get ready to go to Boston to give away more locks after we gave some away in Hopkins and Houston when those kids with autism wandered away from their house and drowned.
That is phenomenal. I haven't seen the USA Today article, but I've heard about this latest endeavor, and it is phenomenal what you're doing. In the sad stories, these kids getting out of the house and drowning. I heard you talk about it earlier in the show today. It's just a tragedy, and the fact that you're getting locks to people that can use these is just tremendous work.
Well, you know, Steve, you know, you and I talked a lot back before COVID, and you know, one of the concerns and fears that I had was that my son Daniel would just wander out of the house. Like, we couldn't sleep right at night. I couldn't go to the restroom. I couldn't turn my back and wash dishes. You know, any opportunity he had to get out of the house, he would take. And the older and smarter he got, the more sophisticated he got, and he could figure these things out. But these combination locks that we found a couple of years ago were the only thing that kept him safe. And when I was out there in Hopkins after that little boy wandered away and drowned, and I hugged that family and I was talking to the police, you know, God just put it on my heart and gave me the idea to do a lock giveaway. And then did one in Houston, and now, you know, the police department in Boston emailed me this morning, and they want me to come there. And, of course, I'm going to go because, Steve, the more parents that we can tell about these locks, the more lives we can save.
Yeah, and it is readily available technology. And the thing is, there's some folks that just can't afford it. They're just trying to put food on the table, pay the rent, et cetera. But making this available is such a great cause.
Yeah, and for those who can't afford, a lot of times they didn't even know these locks existed. So I don't know where Jeff Bezos is, but he really needs to give me that Courage and Civility Award. I know he gave it to Eva Longoria this year. I don't know what she did, but I'm just telling you that I ought to be a contender for next year when he's giving out that Courage and Civility Award.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Shaletta, I think some people just need, you know, that push. I think people are indeed very generous. And if you, and you've already proven this, if you show a need, people will step up and donate funds.
Yes, they will. And this has been a blessing. So I'll let you know when I'm heading to Boston. But I wanted to let you know I love you, and I thank you for your support. And y'all listen up. Steve Thompson is coming up next. Have a great weekend. I'm headed to Rondo Days. Y'all get on out there if you can. MC Light and Rakim are rapping on the main stage tonight from 5 to 7. It is a great opportunity to highlight that historic community over in St. Paul. Rondo Days today. Food, drinks, community, people. Get there if you can.